The people said,
amen.
Amen. We have no Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have no book but the Bible, the Word of God. I fully believe that maybe it shall be the reluctance of all of us preachers one day when we stand before the Lord that we will give an account for not spending more time in the Bible and teaching God's Word to the people. There's such a tremendous famine in the land today of the Word of God. We have all kinds of opinions being stuffed down our throat. All kinds of political palaver coming from one side and then another. And there's so much confusion. And we need to get back to the Bible. Theodore Epps used to have a radio broadcast, Back to the Bible. We need that today. Church members need that today. Preachers need that today. And it is our desire that we'll be true and faithful to preaching and teaching God's Word this morning to you and for your hearing. I want you to turn with me to the 66th Psalm. Psalm number 66. I'd like to read for your hearing verses 1 through 8. And then verses 16 through 20. Psalm 66, beginning with verse 1 down through verse 8, and then we'll jump down to verse 16 and following. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God. Now here he's telling us what we should pray when we speak to God. Say unto God, these are the words, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. If you'll notice in verse 3, he talks about the terrible works of God. Notice the adjective to describe it, the terrible works of God. And then in verse number 5, he tells us that our God is a terrible God, meaning that He is to be feared. That He is meant to be revered. He is meant to be feared and looked upon not just as a common denominator, but as the only God that there possibly is. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. Verse 16, come and hear all that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but, and encircle that conjunction, but, verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. He closes out with a text for our sermon today on a prayer hearing God. A prayer hearing God. God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. He hadn't ignored me. He hasn't turned away from me. He hath heard me. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. It is amazing at other key verses in the Bible that also serve as a text to support this subject today. That our God is a prayer-hearing God. One in particular is one that you know or should know pretty well. It is in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The theme of that text is simply this: if my people will pray, I will hear. If my people will pray, I will hear. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that deal with prayer. When we speak of prayer, what are we talking about? Let me give you a very short and simple definition of prayer. Prayer is communicating with God. It deals with man talking to God, and it deals with God talking to man. Now, this definition is clearly set forth in Genesis 18, where a dialogue took place between Abraham and God. You might want to turn to Genesis 18. Keep it there at Psalm 66, but Genesis chapter number 18, where God has told Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In the 18th of Genesis, notice how it is set up. In verse 17, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?" God at this point had not revealed to Abraham he was going to destroy those cities. He says about Abraham, "I know him," in verse 19. "He'll do the right thing. He'll keep the way of the Lord." And the Lord said in verse 20, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." And when God laid that information on Abraham, both Abraham and God Almighty entered into a dialogue. They entered into a prayer session. Abraham began to talk to God, and God responded by talking to Abraham. Notice in verses 22 and 23, the first thing Abraham did is he drew near to God. The verse says, "The men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said," now here's his prayer. Abraham's not talking to the people, he's talking to God here. "Will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And in that plea, he covered some ground. He began to say, "Now, Lord, just suppose there are 45 people that know you. Will you withhold your judgment?" If 40 people were there, if 20 people were there. And finally, he said, "If only 10 showed up that knew the Lord, would you withhold your judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah?" That's in Abraham's part, his part of the dialogue in talking to God. He was communicating with God. And then down in verse number 26, it says, "And the Lord said." So it's not a one-way thing here. It is Abraham and God in communicating with each other. Abraham is praying and God is responding. And God plainly made note here that if there were 50, 45, 30, right on down to 10, he said, "Oh, let the Lord be angry. I'll speak yet once more," in verse 32. "Peradventure 10 shall be found there." He said, "I'll not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left, watch this, communing with Abraham. Abraham was communing with God, and God was communing with Abraham. That is a good definition of prayer. Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham spoke to God. God spoke to Abraham. We do not talk to God long distance. He cannot be reached through text messages. You have to draw nigh unto God if you're going to pray. And Abraham spoke to God. And then God in turn spoke to Abraham. Whenever we talk to God, we don't have to worry about leaving a message on an answering service. Isn't that great? That he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is more concerned about you talking to him than you are concerned about talking to him. God hears when his people pray. This is called communing with God. There are different forms of prayer. I would give you four of them by way of introduction. And you can spell one single word with these different forms of prayer. You perhaps already know them. If you don't, you should memorize them and write them down in the fly leaf of your Bible. It is the little word ACTS, A-C-T-S. And you build an acrostic with that. A equals adoration. That is prayer. C equals confession. That is prayer. T equals thanksgiving. That is prayer. S, supplication. That is prayer. Let's look at adoration. Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 14. As he was getting ready to dedicate the temple that he had built unto the Lord, he began it by praying. And this is what the scripture says. Solomon spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven nor on earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all thine heart. He's not asking the Lord to do one single thing. He's praising the Lord. He is adoring the Lord. He is saying, Lord, you are above all, King of kings and Lord of lords. David is a good example of confession. David is a whole lot like we are. He got in trouble a lot of times with the Lord, and he had to go back and confess his sins. In Psalm 51, verse 4, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. But never underestimate the element of thanksgiving. It is a good thing to thank the Lord for his blessings, for hearing us. Paul is a good example in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And finally, there's supplication. What is supplication? It's petitions. Those things that we desire, those things that we pray that God will hear and answer, and we ask him for these things. This is revealed in Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now in the message this morning, I want to be dealing with the aspect of supplication and petition. Remember, prayer is more than just supplication and petition, but we're going to be thinking about it in that vein, in that line, praying unto God, asking him to do things, placing our petitions before his attention, praying to the prayer hearing God. Listen, you're wasting your time. If God doesn't hear you, you're wasting your time. And it's encouraging to me to know whether I think that I can have some supernatural sign to know and to let me know that God is hearing me. I don't have to have those signs. I read the Bible. And the Bible is the sign I need in knowing that when I pray and I mean business, God's going to hear me. God's listening to what I have to say, just as He's listening to what you have to say. Think with me about some subtitles this morning. Number one, God alone heareth prayers. God alone heareth prayers. He is the only God that hears. He is the only God that sees. He's the only God that knows. He's the only God that feels. He is the only God that is. Therefore, He is the only God that hears. The only God that hears. And He hears prayers. In Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter number 45. Verses 18 and following. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Look at verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge, that set up wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell you, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there's none beside me. Look unto me, be ye saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. God alone heareth prayers. The very structure of the spiritual anatomy of God speaks that He sees things, He hears things, He knows things. In Psalm 115, verses 3 through 6, it's good to remember this when you pray. Our God is in the heavens. You know where He is? He's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols, that is the people who worship other gods, their idols are silver and gold, the works of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, and underscore it, but they hear not. A man who prays to an idol will never have an idol that can hear him. Idols can't hear. Only God heareth prayers. The God of the Muslims cannot hear. What a terrible thing. Many of those people spend hours and hours every day on their faces before Allah, and Allah can't hear one thing in the world they're saying because God, Allah doesn't have any spiritual ears. He's an idol. And yet they think they're accomplished something. It's the greatest religion, great by numbers, the greatest numerical religion in the world today. People praying to a God that cannot hear. You remember the Philistines stole the Ark of God. They didn't know exactly what to do with it, so when they took it home, they took it to their temple. And they worshiped a god by the name of Dagon. And the scripture says they brought it into Dagon's presence, his false god's presence, and they left it there overnight. The next morning, they came to find out that the god Dagon had fallen on its face before the Ark of God. And they said, let's try this again. They left it there the second night. And the next day they came in and the Ark of Dagon was before the Ark of the Covenant and its head and hands were cut off. Listen, the ears were destroyed with a head. Dagon can't hear. He has no ears. He cannot hear. In reality, he cannot, because he does not exist as an entity. And even if he did, he could not hear, because only God heareth prayers. Only God. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 26 through 39. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 26 through 39. Let's look at it. 1 Kings 18, verses 36. Through 39. Let's, to conserve time, look at verse 26. They took the bullock, that is the idolatrous people. They took their idol, not Dagon, but Baal. They took that idol and they offered a bullock unto it. They dressed it. They called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. That'd take care of your Baptist congregation pretty quick, wouldn't it? And that means that they didn't get up at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. It means they got up before the sun did and began to worship Baal and offer sacrifices unto Baal. But notice there was no voice nor any that answered. And so they added a little bit of Pentecostalism to it. They began to jump up and down and hoop and holler and began maybe to speak in a few tongues, and they still didn't get anything. You see, somebody needed to say, guess what? You're talking to the wrong God. Baal can't hear you. Baal can't help you. And they tried everything in the world, cutting themselves, offering themselves as a sacrifice. And it went on. And finally, God, the God of heaven, heard Elijah when he prayed. God responded and let the people know there's only one God, and that's the God of the Bible. Elijah said in verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God.'" Notice the article, not just a God. "He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." They meant He's the only one there is. God hears prayers, and He's the only one that hears. He's the only God that does, because He's the only God that is. Drive that down. Second of all, God heareth not the prayers of sinners. Now, before you get all riled up and already tell in your own heart of hearts, when this is over with, I'm going to tell the preacher when I go out that door where he was wrong, I invite your compliments. But before you do, be a good idea to check with your Bible. God heareth not the prayers of sinners. There was a blind man whom the Lord Jesus healed in John chapter 9, verse 31. And the Pharisees said, "He can't heal anybody because he did this on the Sabbath day. He's a false prophet." And the rich man said, "Well, whether he's a false prophet or not, I don't know. I do know one thing. I was blind and now I can see." And finally the blind man spoke and said this after his healing. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." He said that. Take it up with him. "We know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Prayer is designed activity for the children of God and not the children of the wicked one. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And how did he teach them? "Our Father who art in heaven." Anything short of that is not prayer. And nobody hears it. That is of any significant importance. Many scriptures seem to support this. And I'm going to go fast. Jot these references down. Please look them up for your own interest and information. Many scriptures support this statement, God heareth not the prayers of sinners. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28 through 30. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. God said, they're wasting their time. I'm not going to hear them. In Proverbs 15, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Even a lost man, a sinner, asking God to do something, my dear friends, is an abomination to God. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will not hide mine eyes from you. Pardon me. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In Ezekiel chapter 8, verse number 18, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. Now, I looked up the Hebrew to see what the real meaning of that was, and it's this, I will not hear them. That's what it means. It's a waste of time. In Micah chapter 3, verse 4, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in all of their doings. Let me give you another one that might provoke some thought. God heareth not the prayers of his disobedient children. Do you know what disobedience is? It's going against what mom and dad tell you to do. Do you know what spiritual disobedience is? It's going against what God says in his word. Disobedience. And when we're in a state of disobedience, my dear friends, God's not going to hear our prayer. He says in the text we read, Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. There's something that is more important in our prayer life sometimes than petition. It is a little word we often overlook. It's called repentance. God says, when you repent, I'll hear. But don't just come dragging in this little request and that little request and think because your name's on the church book and you've been baptized in the baptistry, hey, God's got to bow down and give you everything that you ask for. That's so foolish. God heareth not the prayers of his disobedient children. This was said by King David, who was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't living for the Lord. And you know the story of David. If a believer's out of fellowship with the Lord, his prayer life will be dormant and dead until he repents and comes back home to the Father. Is that okay? Might as well relax, because that's the way it is. Had the prodigal son, I know this is a little facetious, but I think it drives home the point. Had the prodigal son wired his father for more money when he was away in a far land, I doubt the father would have sent it. But when he came to his father and said, I have sinned, everything he needed was at his disposal. bring forth a robe and put it on him. Put shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf, for this my son was lost and now is found. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. God is a prayer-hearing God to His obedient children. That doesn't mean He's sinless as far as practical experiences are concerned, because we know if we're honest with ourselves, we many, many times do things as Christians we ought not to do, and we think things we ought not to think, but we get right with the Lord. We don't continue to wallow in sin. We do something about it. And God is a prayer-hearing God to His own obedient children. Here's some verses to support that. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to him that ask him? In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 13, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. He's a prayer-hearing God. In James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elias had as many boogers in his life as you and I have in ours, all right? And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Not a drop of water fell. Why? Because God heard Elijah's prayer. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God is a prayer-hearing God to His obedient children. And as I stated in beginning this message, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I said that we're going to be thinking this morning and have been thinking about the avenue or the channel of petitionary prayer, of asking God for things. Have you ever asked God for anything and you felt like He didn't hear you when you prayed? I've given you the reason sometimes where God says, I'll not even listen to you till you get some things settled in your life, and you get some things settled in your marriage, and you get some things settled in your home, and you get something settled between me and you, God says, I will hear, I will hear, I will hear. Hannah wanted a baby. Now, she was not like John Wesley's wife, who had 19 young'uns. She did. That's a miracle, isn't it? Hannah didn't have any children, and she wanted a baby more than anything else in the world. And you find in that book, 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. A man by the name of Elkanah had two wives. Now that's where he really messed up a little bit right there. Maybe three wives had been all right. I say that in jest. But when there are two wives, one got to be better than the other. Always one got to be better than the other. And the one's going to say that is the one you go to first. Huh? I'm better than she. And that's what was happening here. Hannah couldn't have children. Elkanah could have them. Pardon me, Elkanah was the preacher. He was the priest. And Peninnah or Peninnah, she was one of the wives. She had children. Hannah had no children. So Hannah was always put down by Peninnah. Because I can have babies, but you can't have them. Something must be wrong with you. You must be living in sin. Look how God has blessed me. He won't bless you. And it just broke her heart. And she prayed and prayed and prayed that if God would be pleased to give her a son. And guess what? God heard. And not only did he hear, but God did. And the baby she had was one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever had, the prophet Samuel. God did that. Brother Kozar, what should I pray for? In petition now. In petition, what should I pray for? You pray for those things that bother you or those needs that you think you might have. It doesn't mean God's going to give you everything you ask for. And aren't you glad he doesn't? Aren't you glad he knows best for you because he made you, but he wants to hear from you and he wants you to be sincere when you pray. And it's not a matter of whether you have little faith or big faith. And if you don't get an answer to your prayer, you need to increase your faith and your faith needs to grow a little bit. And all this political mess and Pentecostal hogwash that's going out today. Dear friend, God will give you what you need if you do business with him and communicate with him. He'll communicate. I promise you, he'll communicate with you. But don't try to hold out on God. You can't do it. And don't try to hide anything from God because you can't hide it. Be honest in your relationship with the God of the Bible and look to him and serve him and pray to him and he'll hear what you have to say. And so, well, what's he going to do about it? You know this, whatever he does will be for your good and for his glory. Always. Hezekiah was doing fine until the prophet of the Lord came over to him in 2 Kings chapter 20 verses 1 through 6 and told him he ought to set his house in order because he's getting ready to die. That's a kind of a sobering breakfast, isn't it? Set your house in order because you're getting ready to die. In those days when Hezekiah was sick unto death, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And what did Hezekiah do? He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again, and you go tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Underscore that. I have heard thy prayer. He heard his prayer. He'll hear my prayer. He'll hear your prayer. He heard his prayer. I've seen his tears. Behold, I will heal him. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. I will add unto thy days 15 years. It already called the mortician in. And he came in with a big smile on his face and said, son, I'm just so sorry you're about to die. You know, they can be the biggest hypocrites they are. Morticians can, because they look so sorry when you die. They tickled. That's how they live. Huh? But Hezekiah said, guess what? I don't need you today. God's given me 15 more years. God did that. Do you think he's any less able to do what he did back then than he is now? Of course not. It's a matter of praying. And it's a matter of being on praying ground when we pray. And God hears the prayers of his people. God hears the prayers of his people. Just before coming out of my study this morning, I was reading over in the book of Genesis, Exodus, where the children of Israel came and moved into Egypt. And I noticed they were there. The scripture in one place of Exodus said they were there for 430 years. 30 years was sunshine. 400 years was storm. Because another Pharaoh rose up who knew not Joseph. And they punished the children of Israel for 400 years. But you know what? They didn't seek the Lord for quite a while there because it was sunshine for 30 years. Everything going great. Everything's wonderful. And then when things got so bad and so tight and unbearable, they begin to cry out to God. And God told Moses, I have heard their cry. And I'm going to do something about it. And God sent Moses to liberate them from 400 years of imprisonment down in Egyptian bondage. God does the same thing for people today. When I pray, how should I pray? You pray for his will to be done. You pray for his will because he knows more about it than you know about it. And you pray believing that God will always do what is right. He hears me. He hears me. God answers prayer. He's a prayer-hearing God. What a blessing. What a comfort. We have the privilege of entering into dialogue with the God of glory. And as I said, we may get tired, we may faint, we may get to the place that Satan produces such discouragement on us, we want to quit. But he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. While you're asleep, God's still awake, watching over you, loving you, and taking care of you. So because of this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. He's a prayer-hearing God. Therefore we have not, because we ask not. May God enable us to talk to him more frequently and to speak more fully and honestly with him, because he is your God and he is my God and he's the only God there is. God of the Bible, he's a prayer-hearing God. I like the sound of that. He's a prayer-hearing God. Let's stand, please, for our benediction.